Plum Love Foods Live, serious chef talk. Chef Plum.
I was a pro wrestler and a Laser Quest champion.
Chef Jeff.
People like me a lot.
Chef Dan.
Man, all that hard salsa, man, got me bench pressing Yorkies.
Chef Rob.
I'm bougie.
The Hulkster.
Brother, I was at Arby's scarfing down a chicken cordon bleu.
Chef Dave.
I don't have AIDS, I have Lyme disease. It's different.
Plum Love Foods Live, every Thursday at 10 p.m. on Spreaker Radio and podcasted everywhere.
I have no idea why people listen to this.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your Nissan claws. Here are the Good Brothers.
Yes, yes, it's a Monday night. Monday, bloody Monday. I know it's supposed to be Sunday, Jeffy, but bloody Monday. Yeah.
I'm into it, man.
Yeah. Wow, here we are in quarantine, living the dream still. Jeffy, happy quarantine day 26. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Did you lose count?
Listen, every day is quarantine. I still have been going to work, fortunately, but it's just heavy, man. You know, the energy everywhere is heavy, you know, and I haven't been going to any stores. I've just gone to work and come home.
Yeah.
So it's like, I really, you know, I don't know. It's just weird. It's just like it's a weird time to be out here.
No, dude, 100% is it a weird time to be out. That's for damn sure. I was at the grocery store yesterday. And I got to be honest with you, the whole feeling, the whole vibe, everything about it is just crazy, man. I mean, it's people walking around wearing, like, masks. And, I mean, I'm going to sound terrible here. It looks like I'm walking around North Korea. Like, it's just crazy. Like, what is happening?
Yeah, brother, it's scary shit.
People
are dying, you know? Like, I'm starting to get the phone calls, you know? So-and-so's brother died. You know, this person died, you know? A great aunt of mine died or something recently from this. I'm like, whoa. It's starting to happen more and more and more. And I think, you know, especially all the people I know in New York. I mean, we're pretty inundated right now. You know, New York City. And now that I just read something today, oh, Long Island's a new epicenter. I'm like, what?
What? Where'd you read that at?
I don't know. Amber was showing it to me. It was some New York Long Island paper. New York paper, something like that.
Yeah, listen, here's the thing, man. It's crazy. It's sad. It's horrible to hear, but we're doing fine. You know, everybody's doing fine. And literally, I was watching, I don't know if you guys saw the Governor Cuomo from New York's press conference today. I watched most of it, and it's funny because about, you know, a few minutes in, he starts showing these, he gets this expert on showing the lines, all the stuff, and like where they projected to be, where it is currently, and I mean, where it is currently is nowhere near where they projected it to be. And they are hesitant to say this, but they think that they're starting to plateau a little bit, which would be fantastic news.
I read that today, too, that it's been like, it hasn't gotten worse. It's been like the same number the last couple of days, which is like a good sign. We're open.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic sign. That's what makes me excited. And, you know, we keep going this direction, man, then literally I think that... you know, we'll start seeing some good news coming out of this here soon. But listen, I don't think we'll ever be fully back to normal. I don't think we'll ever be totally normal ever again. I think that we're going to have lots of changes in our life because of this, and lots of things are going to be different. And, you know.
Absolutely. I'm with you 100%. I mean, normal is what it is. You know what I mean? Like, it'll be a new normal, you know.
Right.
Kids laugh in fucking Egypt and places where bombs go off every day. People are still having fun and doing their thing. You know what I mean? It's like... We're still gonna get through it. Everyone's gonna get through it. It's just it's just different, you know, like you said, it's just going to be a little different, you know, things are a little, I'm like worried, like, people are going to be sketched out about, you know, all sorts of shit now, and like, I mean, fucking getting microchipped and all this weird shit.
I mean, that's going a little far. If you think about this, before 9/11, we didn't take our shoes off at the airport, and now it's a regular thing we do now, and, you know, it's going to be little changes that'll become normal.
Exactly.
It'll become normal, and you know, honestly, we'll talk about it after we have our guests on tonight, but, you know, I was running the numbers. I was working some figures and running some numbers, Jeffy. I want to talk about that later on, too. But tonight...
Man, you told me there would be no math.
Well, I got the math figured out. I'm just giving the answers. Here's why.
Okay.
I have a microphone, therefore I'm an expert.
Excellent.
That's it right there. Tonight on this pop-up program, we're super lucky. We have a fantastic guest joining us tonight. She is a... she works in the ER in Norwalk Hospital, which here in Connecticut, Norwalk Danbury and Stamford are the kind of hot spots here, having a shit ton of cases of stuff there. And she works as a PA in the ER directly. So we're excited to have Erica Acevedo on with us, which should be really cool. She's going to join us here in a second, and you know, we're going to ask some questions and try to, you know, basically what we're doing here. Like, we're not talking food all the time. We have a platform. We're trying to get some real information out there. So that's the plan, gentlemen. That's the plan. Speaking of gentlemen, tonight, sitting in with us as well, Dave will be here in a little while for sure, but our good brother Chef Dan is joining us. Hey, Dan, what's up, brother?
Hey, what up, man?
There he is.
Wow. It sounded like you were smiling when you said that.
Ever. yeah, you know, every time I hear your guys' voices, I just sit back and I just spark a smile.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you touch yourself a little bit.
I wasn't going to say that live on this nationwide, worldwide podcast.
All right, well, I totally understand that.
That'd make everyone uncomfortable.
Well, Dan, you're still working, right? I mean, Dan is a chef at a very, very high-end gourmet store. And you're still there, right? You guys are still rocking?
Yeah, we're still rocking. It's intense. It's totally different. It's not the same store it was a month ago. Like you said, people are coming in with masks and gloves. And I had a lady, we're doing curbside, so we're walking food out to people's cars, and you kind of walk up to the window to get their name, and they're telling you to stand back and yell. They're yelling across the parking lot to you so that you can drop their box into their trunk. They don't want you touching their car. It's intense, man.
We just got a great message chiming in from our good friend, Chef Sherry Swanson. I thought I would read this because it was very appropriate. She said, Dan, please don't touch yourself on the air. Just FYI, that's good advice. She's looking after you there. I like that.
Hey, thank you, Sherry. Appreciate you looking out.
Yeah, that's what's up right there. That's what's up. So, but you guys are still busy as shit, right? I mean, is it busier than, like, are you busier than normal now, or is it just because it's hard? It's hard to get things out there.
It's a different busy. We're short-staffed every day. I just sent home, so there's one guy has another job at another restaurant. Somebody tested positive at that restaurant.
Nope,
he's
done,
right? So I just told his dude, come back in 2 weeks. Yep, 2 weeks. Him and his wife. One's a dishwasher, the other's a prep guy. Said, sorry, come back in 2 weeks. Another dude that works in the same place, he only works there once a week, so he works an off shift from this guy. So I'm on the fence of whether I should let him in or not. So I told this dude to take a week, see how he feels, and then we'll see about bringing him back. We got people, we're just bringing people off the street. So one chick's husband is working. We got people just kind of like trying to fill in the void. It's crazy. There's not the same people. It's a lot of phone calls, people calling and placing orders for groceries and food, and we're just bringing it out to them. A couple people come in. We limited it down to 10 people coming in the store at one time. It's a lot of just a different feel. It's a whole different store.
Man, it's I can't even imagine how that is. But Dan, just because, you know, so many people talk about worrying about the supply chain when it comes to food, you know, set them at ease at that a little bit if you can.
Oh well, so some things are obviously harder to get than others. Like one day we'll have an issue getting pork, but then we got beef, and then we'll have no issue getting beef or no issue getting pork, and we'll have an issue getting beef. It's kind of been on and off. Sometimes we get chicken, sometimes we get turkey. Produce has never been an issue. We've gotten milk. Sometimes we run out of milk, but then we just get another supply of milk in. You know, there's so many avenues in which we can go down, purveyors and people who have things for sale. There was a issue like last week where the big companies like Cisco actually had too much stuff. Apparently the Rocky Hill Cisco threw out like $400,000 worth of food because they couldn't give it away.
Wow.
And it's just like, it's just been crazy. So now they're trying to restock, but they can't restock so much because they don't know what's going to happen. You know, how much stuff they can have, what they can supply with. So they're just kind of keeping the bare minimum. So it's been touchy. You know, you try to get, and everyone's been really cool. I mean, not everybody, but for the most part, people are like understanding. They're taking what they can get. People are making do. A lot of people are making bread right now. We're selling yeast like crazy.
Are you really?
It's crazy. We have the package of yeast, the I don't know, maybe 1 pound bag, and I'm packing it out, getting like 30 small containers of it, selling it for $1, and I've done 5 of those 1 pound containers since Thursday.
Jesus Christ. Or people are making trying to make beer. Trying to make alcohol.
I'm fun with whatever they're doing. It's been wild. So people are doing things definitely. I think people are definitely cooking a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I know I've been cooking a ton, and I haven't made any cooking videos yet. I'm gonna tell you why, Jeffy. Because everybody's doing it, right? Everybody's doing it. I don't know. It didn't seem like a fun thing to do. But you know what? I'm gonna start doing. I think this week I'm gonna be working with our friend Anna and Raven. On Star 99.9 here in Connecticut, we're going to be doing what do we call that thing? Home Chef Idol, where you submit your pictures of your home cooked meals to our panel, our expert panel that I will be on, and we will clearly and happily judge your food on the air without tasting it, based purely on pictures alone, and then we're going to whittle it down and have a winner, and it's going to be a nice prize. It should be pretty fun.
That sounds cool.
It's terrible, man. Fun. But whatever. It's
sounds fun. Hey, you know what? You just gotta make do with what you got, man. It's like everyone's trying to figure out different ways of just entertaining themselves. Like that's what it's come down to. It's like people are really like you do people doing these TikToks and stuff, and it seems kind of crazy for us because you know, as far as food is concerned, it's what it tastes like first and foremost. But you're kind of entertaining a group of people that are like, oh, okay, this is, you know, I put my picture out there. Look at me. Their idea of a picture means more to them than what it tastes like.
And yeah, that's there's probably just, some truth to that.
People are like that.
There's probably some truth to that. So it should be fun. We're going to do that shit. Maybe I can try to play the bits here on the air when we do pop-up shows if we can get them. That'd be pretty funny. But... yeah, I hear so many people worrying about like, oh, we're going to run out of food. Man, we're nowhere near that.
Not gonna happen.
And no. Here are the good news today, but still, that the line could be plateauing off. Jeffy's always great news to hear, but you know it's probably a different story when you're out there on the front lines working your ass off every single day. And you know, fuck a commercial. We're not gonna play a spot right now. We're just gonna go right to it. Joining us on the program, we have. Listen, it's become, like we said it before, these pop-up shows, like the idea of a front lines, the idea of a soldier, the idea of someone who's going to battle is definitely not what it was, you know, back in the 70s or something like that when we were, you know, having Vietnam War and things of that nature. It's definitely a different picture now where instead of carrying guns, they're carrying face masks and scrubs and for what the battle that we're fighting now. And right now we're lucky to be joined by someone who's on that front line, who is out there protecting us as a whole. She is a physician's assistant. She is in the emergency room. She is the lovely, the fantastic, the nice, the funny. And thankfully, I don't know if she's good at her job, Jeff, because I've never had to go to the ER. So that's good news. But if I do have to go, this is where I want to go. Someone who has this sort of bedside manner. Please welcome.
I was just going to say, yeah, she seems like the one you'd want.
Yeah, our new friend, Erica, here to the program. Hey, Erica, what's happening? How are you?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Living the dream in quarantine. That's twice in one show. There you go.
Sounds like you guys are enjoying it. That's great.
Of course. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy, Chef Plum, Chef Jeff, Dan joining us here in the program this evening. Erica, you work at Norwalk Hospital here in Connecticut. Which is
yes,
Lower Fairfield County. I mean, You are very, very close to New York City. Are you seeing people from New York come into the hospital or not yet?
It's funny that you ask, because typically we do, you know, especially from, you know, Westchester, we typically have a pretty large population come from there. But more recently, I have to say, we've seen a lot more local people, maybe because people are actually listening and staying home. Yeah. But lately, I haven't actually seen too many, but I expect, you know, within the next week or so, we'll probably be seeing a few more. Than we have been.
Talk a little bit about your shifts now, kind of like your day when you get to work, like, or, you know, whenever your shift starts, like, how does that stuff begin, and how long is it, and what's it like, and that sort of thing?
So my shifts are a little atypical. I work the night shift.
Oh, my God.
So my shift starts at 10 p.m.
Now, wait, time out. Is that, like, by choice, or is that, like, starting off, or did you piss somebody off?
No, that's my choice.
It's by choice.
I chose that shift. Yeah, I like it better.
Because you like to rock. I get it. I like to rock too.
Yeah. So, you know, I go in. Typically, I get there a little early just because, you know, our schedules are a little irregular. You know, I don't work the same day every week. You know, it's not a Monday through Friday job. So I like to get there a little early just to kind of catch up, see if there's any new policies that have been implemented that I need to catch up on, or treatments for certain things. So now that's almost a guarantee since things change pretty much daily. So I get there early, you know, when I get on the floor, it's pretty much you hit the ground running. And the ER at this point looks, It's very interesting. Almost every patient that walks in at this point is now on what we call a COVID precaution, which, you know, essentially means that
you have to assume everybody has it.
You know, exactly. You know, so because there's so many different presentations or none at all, you know, we have to kind of have our guard up for everyone. And so, you know, people are behind closed doors. People have, you know, we have to put on all of this gear, you know, before we can even walk in the room and lay eyes on our patients. So, you know, it becomes very laborious very quickly. You know, for my shift in particular, you know, there's no real ramping up. It's just get in, go, start your job, and see as many people as you can.
Wow. And I'm assuming that, yeah, obviously within all the rules, of course, but you're probably taking on a lot more because you're a PA, right? So, I mean, you're like, you're a doctor for the most part.
We do a lot of the same things, yeah.
Can you prescribe medication? Because Jeffy and I are trying to find some pills. Yes. I got this pain in my back. I'm just saying. It's pretty. I think I probably need some codeine
pills.
More like pills.
A crick. It's more like a crick, yeah, in my neck.
Jeffy, you
like
need some codeine like pills?
A crick indeed is different from a pain.
Yeah,
it's like a crick.
It's like a spasm. It's like a spasm.
Yeah, it's like a thing.
Yeah.
Well, I can recommend that you call your doctor, since I'm pretty sure they're doing telemedicine now for that. So.
Oh, I'll show them. I got a jagged leg, a little crick, a little something. Let's get it.
So talk about when you first see a patient, like, and triage is first starting on when someone new walks in the door. Like, what's the first step? Obviously, you said you get geared up, you put all your equipment on, and then what do you do? Walk in and, like, we take your temperature? Can we, you know, what do you say?
So luckily, all that's done before I even get in the room by our amazing staff. So we have nurses, we have ER techs, we have, our registrars who kind of give us all of that preliminary information. So preferably before I go into the room, I will know the patient's temperature. I'll know their oxygen level. I'll know their blood pressure, you know, all the vital signs that are pertinent for me to determine whether or not, you know, this is something that needs, like, my emergent attention right the second, or maybe this is somebody who can hold their own for a little bit and maybe I can go pay attention to someone else first. Right. So, you know, my goal is to go in, you know, I what we call don, which is basically on with a D. You know, we wear like our N95 respirator, you wear like a surgical mask over that, And then I have what I call the riot mask, which is essentially a very large face shield that goes over the masks that we wear. And then, you know, we have to wear a gown to cover our scrubs and two sets of gloves.
Wow.
So, yeah. And actually, and I will wear a hairnet as well. That's not required as of right now, but it's just kind of, you know, if I'm going to protect the rest of me, I might as well protect that too.
How's a hairnet going to protect your hair?
Well, yeah, because, you know, I mean, if you want to, people are coughing in those rooms. They're not wearing the mask correctly. They're taking it off. So, you know, you don't know if they've coughed in the air. Gotcha. You don't know, like, what's in the room. So I'd just rather be completely, you know, covered.
So you have like a hair, you know, like shield thing, like a hair thing, like a shower cap situation.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It's, you know, it's called a surgical bonnet. It's kind of like a papery material, it does the job.
Yeah.
You know, and my goal going into the room is really to determine kind of like, you know, the course of the patient's symptoms and, you know, and now pretty much do they or don't they need to be hospitalized? And is there anything that I can do for them in the interim that will, you know, make them feel a little bit better? You know, is there something I can prescribe them at home to kind of, you know, help with the cough, help with the breathing, help with the fevers? You know, or is this person super sick? Do we need to intubate this person? Do we need to admit them to the floor? You know, so, and in addition to that, find out if there's another thing that's causing their symptoms, which has become the hardest thing of all, really, because COVID kind of took over everything, you know, it's like a weed.
Well, let me ask you, if I come to the hospital with Jeffy, right, and Jeffy has had a terrible accident with a hand mixer, and he's cut his knee up terribly with his hand mixer, right? And we're at the hospital. Like, how does that? I mean, do you have to assume that he is well? Just because, I mean, he has like a physical injury, he's bleeding everywhere. Do we still assume that he has COVID when he comes in?
So typically, we don't assume literally everyone has it. If you know, and I've had a case, you know, I've had cases like this before. You know, so if you don't have a fever, we obviously screen everybody. We ask if you're short of breath, do you have a fever, have you traveled, have you been in contact with anyone who's had COVID? You know, and if you answer no to all those questions, then we can hopefully, you know, assume and safely assume that you're low likelihood to have it. So, you know, obviously I would still protect myself. I'm still wearing at least a surgical mask. And I'm still wearing gloves, obviously. That's what I do all the time anyway, to assess you and to, you know, basically fix up the knee as best as I can.
Yeah.
But for that specific case, he may not go on all of the, you know, official precautions, but we would still be wary because we've had instances where a patient comes in for a broken hip. You know, you have an elderly patient, gets up, goes to the bathroom in the middle of the night, breaks their hip. They come in and we're like, okay, broken hip, need surgery. They develop a fever that night and get tested and turn out they're positive. You know, that's happened before where we previously had absolutely no indication that they were, you know, that they would have had this. So it's getting kind of confusing and, you know, a lot of, you know, there's a lot of disagreement in terms of whether or not we should put everyone on precautions now that people can be asymptomatic or not. But, you know, with the shortage of PPE, it kind of becomes, you know.
PPE is personal protective equipment. Big problem. Anybody doesn't know what that means.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I heard stories.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know. I've heard stories, two particular that I want to ask you about, and I'll start with one about hospitals being at capacity and you know, lots of issues with that. I think in Connecticut we have, I wanted to say we have 10,000 hospital beds in Connecticut or something like that. But obviously those numbers don't really matter when you're in a area full of, you know, people who have this. How's the capacity level at your hospital right now?
So as far as I know, you know, we're pretty full. the last time I checked, I believe we had less than 10 beds available.
Wow.
You know, in the hospital that didn't involve a, you know, like maybe a surgical emergency or something like that.
Do you save a few spots for that just in case?
Yeah. We have areas for people specifically that are non-COVID, and then we have areas designated for people who are COVID and for people who are suspected of having COVID.
Insane. I mean, it's got to just drive you crazy and scare you to death going to work every day.
Absolutely, it is. It's terrifying. But you know, it's essentially, you know, a risk that we take every day. I mean, especially working in emergency medicine, you really never know what's going to walk through that door.
Yeah.
You know, there have been instances where it's been tuberculosis, which is also scary, or you know, just some other communicable disease that you weren't really prepared for. So it's a little bit on a higher level because, you know, what we kind of thought we knew about the disease before, it seems like
it's changing, right?
It's not very applicable anymore. Yeah, you know, it's becoming kind of more and more concerning in terms of, you know, how to predict who's going to be sick and who's not.
Yeah.
You know, because we really can't. So,
how's the amount of PPE you guys have? Is it okay? I mean, because we hear stories about that.
Yeah,
too.
Thankfully at Norwalk, you know, they supply us pretty well with our PPE. I mean, there's a national shortage, so there's not, or global really, there's not a lot you can really do about that, you know. So, you know, we're trying our best, and our administration, thank God, you know, is really has our backs in terms of making sure we're protected. Unfortunately, I mean, we did have to, you know, go toward the model of reusing our N95 respirators, you know, for a while, and, you know, it's not something that we wanted to do, but, you know, times necessitate it, you know?
Right. It's better than nothing, right?
'Cause it's better than having nothing, exactly.
Did you have a sanitation method for it or no?
I'm sorry?
Did you have a sanitation method for those or no?
We actually do. So there is a UV light, which basically cleans via radiation. I believe a lot of food is cleaned that way too. Yeah. And we have a machine in the ER that we can actually put our masks inside. And the way it's set up, and there's some studies to actually back this up, that the UV light will actually kill the virus.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
so,
a lot of survival gear is in the same way, where you get this UV light you can put in water, and it kills all the germs in the water, bacteria in the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what we're doing right now, you know. So, like, personally, I'll go in between each patient. It becomes a little bit cumbersome, you know, because you have to go to the designated area where this one machine is. And if it's in use by someone else, then you have to wait your turn. But luckily, I work on nights, so there's not a whole lot of people running around,
right,
you know, crowding the machine. So at least, you know, that's a plus.
Well, the other one I wanted to ask you about, and sorry guys, I'm just firing questions at her, and I'm not letting anybody else talk. This is my last one, then I'll shut up for a minute, Jeff, and you can talk. But I was seeing an article yesterday, an interesting article in the Post, I think it was, talking about how, no, where was it? It was on Yahoo, I think, where certain hospitals are actually asking their doctors and hospital staff to take a pay cut, in some instances even having to lay off a couple of doctors or and staff because of the lack of procedures that they normally would do that, like, help fund the hospital. You know, people who are getting elective surgeries, people who are getting other kinds of surgeries that maybe they're not getting now are causing the hospital to lose money. Therefore, they can't afford to pay people, so they have to ask people to take less money. Has anything like that happened, or have you heard any stories like that?
So I've heard stories about that. One of my colleagues actually just, you know, she's not in Connecticut. She practices, I believe, out in Virginia.
Oh.
She does family medicine. So, you know, a lot, you know, kind of owing to my earlier comment, you know, like, a lot of these primary care offices and family medicine offices are going to telemedicine, and, you know, that requires a lot less people. So, unfortunately, she did get laid off, you know, and is now looking for work. Thankfully, she has an emergency medicine background, so she can, you know, she'll recoup easily. But, you know, there are people being laid off. Luckily, you know, in our facility, you know, there, I haven't heard of anybody within our network where that's been an issue, but nor the pay cuts. I haven't heard anything about that personally. Not that I'm saying that it's not happening, but
well, we're glad we have you, you know, on tonight. We have something to tell you.
Well, to you.
I'm just kidding.
So are you sitting down?
I am indeed.
We're going to bring on our next guest, your supervisor.
Yep.
It's a crazy thing to even think about that we're having these conversations, that we're talking about this right now. Like, there's a pandemic going on. I mean, honestly, it feels like a movie. I can't imagine for you, it's got to be even worse every day, just feeling scared to go to work and the job that you love to do, and you help people, and it's such an amazing job. And but do you think twice about it ever because of stuff like this?
Not really. Personally, you know, I'm a little bit new to being a PA. You know, I've been a PA for a little over a year now, but I've been working in the hospital system since 2006, previously in radiology, you know, and I've been working in the ER primarily, you know, the whole time. So I've gotten pretty used to the, you know, the risk that you take when you walk through those doors. So, you know, I haven't really regretted anything or really questioned anything. I mean, is it scary? It's very scary, you know, I'm not gonna lie. You know, we all have our concerns, we all have our moments. We're all pretty stressed out and worried, not just for ourselves, but, you know, for our families. You know, I know a lot of people who are, you know, not really seeing their families, or, you know, are sleeping separately from them, you know, staying in hotels.
Yeah.
Just so that they can't, you know, just to lighten that risk of, sure. You know, transmitting it to their family. So, you know, it's taking its toll for sure. And, you know, I'm not immune to that. I definitely have felt that stress, but, you know, it definitely doesn't take away from how much I really do love doing my job. And, you know, I wouldn't trade it.
Man, I mean, like I said, the definition of front lines, Jeffy, is totally different than what, you know, we may have thought about it before this. You know, I think that she's definitely on the front lines, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Erica, my hat's off to you. And everybody, if you want to learn a little bit more about her, you should go to her Instagram, erocksthespot.
The spot.
On Instagram. Follow her there. Like some of her pictures. You know, show some love. Show some support, because she's out there killing it. Nothing makes anybody feel good. Everybody feels good when they get on. There's a bunch of likes and love on the gram. So show some love.
That's right. And Dan, talking so much. Dan, you should chime in here, man, and get some questions or jump in. I know you guys are tight. You guys are family, but you probably still could, you know, help enlighten some folks, Dan, because you've talked to Erica about a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. We actually had a distant, you know, conversation yesterday. She came over to the house and I set up the backyard so that she could sit on the furthest end of the backyard and we could sit on the other end of the backyard, because we was feeling like she was really struggling with her time. You know, we talked to her, me and my wife both, because she lived with us for a year, so we're good friends. She's the other wife. She was talking about how all this thing, she's on all the pressure and all the stress and stuff, so I had to have her over. And it's hard to, I couldn't imagine having to deal with having family and not being able to see them,
yeah,
to go home and to hug them and to love them and being afraid. So, you know, you got to kind of do what you can do.
Right. Dan brings up a great point with that, Erica, and he's right. I mean, listen, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of studies on it too that just show the human touch, like just hugging somebody or making them feel good. I mean, for, you know, dealing with this sort of stuff, I mean, there's got to be some mental health issues, not so much with the patients, but with, you know, with all the staff working on them.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've heard it said, and I've said it myself several times, that, you know, a lot of us should probably start, you know, if we don't already, grab a therapist, because we're probably going to be in need of some serious, you know, mental health.
Right.
You know, after this whole thing is over, and Dan's right. Like, you know, I have my struggles. I'm particularly, you know, I'm a hugger, right? So I, like, you know, when I see my friends, when I see my family, the first thing I do is I go in for a hug, and this is kind of a very strange scenario to live in, where I, you know, last night when I went over, you know, and I can't actually, like, hug anyone, you know, and we have to maintain our distance. You know, and I live by myself currently, so, you know, that adds another layer of, you know, kind of stress to it, because there's, you know, not a lot of offloading to do.
Well, listen, if you can't ever get, you know, Dan or Areta on the phone, you can call me, okay? You don't have to be by yourself.
Okay.
Seriously.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I don't care what time of night it is.
Thank you. Thank you. you know, luckily I have amazing friends, and I have, you know, an amazing boyfriend. So, like, I'm frequently reached out to, you know, and I have that, you know, so I'm thankful and I'm grateful for that. But, you know, there's no replacement, you're right, for that, like, human touch, for that real human interaction, that face-to-face, you know. So it does kind of get to you a little bit after a while. And, you know, but I think it's important more than anything to not let that be the focus, because, you know, it'll beat you up, and it'll kind of take over your thought processes. And we need to be sharper than ever, you know, right now, totally. So that we can kind of, you know, help as many people as we can.
Talk about the, how much you've seen it kind of, I mean, grow and spread. And I mean, how do you feel? Do you feel like we're getting to a point where it's starting to plateau a little bit, or just from working in the hospital and seeing so much of it?
I think, it's funny, because, you know, our administration, like my boss and, you know, a lot of people, keep saying that, you know, the peak is coming, you know. And I think, the governor went on, you know, Ned Lamont went on today and said, you know, it's expected mid to late April. You know, so we've seen an uptick, you know, like a steady uptick, but an uptick in our patients, you know, recently. So, I think it's still on the rise. And again, like I said, I think, for those patients coming from New York, you know, in that side, I think that they're probably going to flood into, you know, our area a little bit.
Which they let them in? I don't think they let them in, are they? I'm serious.
There are no barricades at the highway. You know, we're still free to travel.
They did that shit in Rhode Island.
And, oh, yeah, I know. But, you know, Rhode Island's got, like, one entrance into the state, so they're easy.
Come from other directions. All right, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's difficult, you know, like, because there's a lot of people who work in Connecticut from New York, you know,
sure.
So, and vice versa. So it's kind of hard to limit that traffic, you know, especially in Norwalk. And, yeah, so I personally, for whatever my opinion is worth, I think that it's probably going to continue to rise, hopefully steadily, so that we don't get this big boom of patients, so that we can kind of handle them. But, you know, I don't think this is anywhere near, you know, peaked or you know, going to level off yet.
Yeah, I don't know. The numbers in New York, apparently, over the couple of days, it's kind of been pretty much the same. It hasn't changed a whole lot. And
it's like 500 a day or something, right?
And it's holding steady, which is, for the first time it's happened, that's a good sign.
Yeah, in New York, I agree. I think you're right, for New York State. I think they're probably, you know, reaching kind of that trough, or that peak, I'm sorry. But for us, I think, you know, for the state of Connecticut, I think we're still on a rise. You know, we had just, you know, in one day, I think, you know, and I think this is, you know,
today was a big
increase
day.
In testing, but we had like 1,200 more positive cases today alone, you know, and
yeah, it was crazy.
Like,
We went from 5,675 to like 6,000 and something.
Yeah, over 6,000. Yeah,
insane.
Which, I mean,
to 6,900.
Exactly, and that number is going to keep rising. And I think it's owed to the testing more than anything, because we have a lot more testing sites available. We have a lot more kits available.
Yeah,
and
have you seen the faster testing kit yet?
So actually, I was just going to bring it up. Abbott testing kit, the one that has like the 15-minute turnaround. So they're actually starting to distribute those now. and I believe our facility got two. I'm pretty sure we have two of them now. I'm not sure when they're going to start going into use, and, you know, how many kits we're going to be able to test a day. But, you know, as far as I know, they're still going to be used on, you know, admitted patients because it's still pretty limited. But the hope is that, you know, in the future, when, you know, the production of the testing kits ramp up, you know, and we can facilitate testing outpatients or facilitate testing patients that we may not admit, you know, then we will be able to kind of get that done for them.
Well, let me ask you, because it's, Jeff and I have talked a lot about this, and Dan, you and I have talked a little bit about it too. I mean, all these numbers, and I mean, for days when this first started, we were all numbers watching, just watching the numbers go up every day, just watching it. And, you know, anybody with half a brain would realize that obviously the numbers are going to go up. The more people, the more we test, the higher the numbers are going to be. It's just the way it works. That's the reality of it.
Exactly.
But how relevant are these numbers, Erica, if we don't test everybody? Like, they don't really mean shit if we're not testing everybody. At the moment, right now, there's 3 million people in Connecticut. We have 6,900 cases. That's not even close to 1% of the population.
Exactly. I agree. I 100% agree with you. You know, the numbers don't really mean much of anything. You know, I think, so you can't really, you know, deduce like a meaningful death rate. You can't really deduce a meaningful infection rate, from the numbers as it stands, unfortunately, because we were pretty late, you know, to the game. Hopefully, you know, there's research being done now, and hopefully they're going to develop this. And basically it's called a serology test, like in, that can tell you if you have the antibodies against it, which means that you were infected and that you've become immune.
Right.
If that's developed and we're able to make that available, you know, to everyone, you know, then, you know, we can kind of look backwards in a retrograde fashion, you know, kind of look and say, oh, like, this is how many people were infected. This is how many people obviously survived and who didn't. You know, so, I mean, I think that maybe in the future we could do that, but right now the numbers aren't, you know, the data, it's too sporadic. You know, we don't have information for everyone, so we can't really make any judgment calls based on that.
How bad are these numbers compared to a bad flu season for your hospital? This is just, I'm not setting anything up. I'm just totally, this is legit just a question. Like, I'm not, there's no...
Yeah, no. I appreciate it, though. It's because, you know... It's relevant, and I think that a bad flu season, like this year was actually a bad flu season for us too. And I'll say that the numbers are probably equal in my experience, in my personal experience. You know, I don't have the specific numbers for our hospital in front of me, but you know, on my shifts, you know I diagnosed flu at least, you know, I don't know, probably 8 to 10 times a night.
Yeah.
And currently now, a lot of my patients at night are now, you know, most of them are COVID suspected. I can't diagnose it because we don't test in house yet, but you know, we basically have to, you know, assume that they have it if they,
right,
you know, have any of the symptoms associated. So you know, it's pretty equal in my view in terms of like the death rate. Again, like, not really something we could determine because we don't have the amount of people who actually have it versus who might just have a cold. So that's kind of, it's difficult to say in that respect, but I think, you know, the infection rate is probably somewhere about the same.
It's interesting because I wonder, my wife and I were looking at numbers last night with this, and we were, you know, basically it's, you know, in Connecticut, like if 40,000 people get it, right, and we're nowhere near that number yet, but 40,000 people get it, basically it would end up, you put 1,000 people in your backyard, one person out of that group would have it, right? But if you put 1,000 people in your backyard in a bad flu season, it's like 34 people have the flu or something like that. It's weird numbers. Listen, that's just taking the emotion out of it and all everything else out of it. It's just going purely on numbers, and it's just interesting to me because, you know, I've started looking at it one of these two ways. I can't decide. Is it what we're doing is making a difference and slopping this about with all of us being home for these, you know, all these days and social distancing and all that stuff? Is that making a difference? Or would it have not really been as bad as we think it's going to be? Here's the thing. If we can look back when this is all said and done and go, man, we really kind of overdid it here, but everybody's back to normal and healthy and good, I'm okay with that. It's fine. But I just really wonder if it would be that different.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I've definitely thought about. I do think that social distancing and really more than social distancing is, you know, staying at home. I think that makes a massive difference. Because this could have easily been, something way worse in terms of not just like the amount of people, but, you know, perhaps how sick they're getting.
Right.
One of the theories out there now in regards to like who gets sick and who doesn't, or who needs a vent and who doesn't. One of the theories is, you know, viral load. So, you know, whether you're getting infected based on touching a doorknob or something, or are you getting infected from, you know, someone coughing within like a 1 foot, you know, distance from you.
Right.
So, so if we didn't implement staying at home and we didn't implement social distancing, you know, then the thought is, you know, you'd get a lot more of that viral load out there, because people would just be living their lives as they normally do. And we're pretty on top of each other. And I think that's a lesson we all learned pretty quickly. Once we were told to stay away from each other, we're like, wait a minute, like, this is actually kind of hard. I think that it probably, you know, in my opinion, and based on, you know, that theory, it definitely could have looked way worse than it does now. And I think it is helping, it's helping us too in the medical system. Because, a couple months ago, people would come in to the ER for a stuffy nose, which isn't something that we would determine an emergency. Now with this kind of going around, I think a lot more people are a little more hesitant to come into the ER for something that doesn't really necessitate our services. So it's helped with, you know, that whole overwhelming the medical system, you know, fear, because we were really concerned about that, you know, because everything else doesn't go away just because this is here. This is just compounding on top of everything else. So, I think that in more ways than one, it helped, but, you know, like you said, it's kind of hard to say definitively, but I agree with you. If we look back on this, you know, and say like, that was a lot for right. a whole lot of nothing, I'm still okay with that. But that's also through the lens of having a job, of not having to, you know, deal with unemployment or, you know, loss of my health insurance or, you know, whatever other, you know, health issues that I have not really being addressed because I don't have access to my doctor, whatever the issue may be. You know, I'm very lucky and fortunate that, you know, I have a job and I'm still pretty much living my normal life with the exception of, you know, what my actual job is now entailing.
Totally. So. Coming in on the Instagram from Con2008 says, thank you for doing what you do. That's awful nice.
Oh, of course. Thank you.
Very, very nice. Our good friend and good brother, Chef Storch from Match Sono and Match Burger Lobster, he chimed in and said, what do you want to eat on Sunday? If you're off, what about your friends? He's cooking for you.
So, oh, that's so kind of you. Thank you. Yeah.
Chef Matt Storch wants to cook for you. So I'm gonna
oh, wow.
I'm gonna connect you to Matt. Matt's a really good person and his restaurants are fantastic. Great chef.
Indeed, awesome. I've been to Match. I love it. I'm actually moving to Sono in about a month. Palette.
Yeah. coming in also too. A good friend of ours, good brother of ours, Chef Frank Bellotti is chiming in. He says that it's tough to tell any of the information because the numbers are off. He has a friend as a nurse in Brooklyn, and he was treating patients with it. He caught it, and they won't test him. They just gave him off. And his cousin is a fireman. Mm-hmm. He has all the symptoms. They won't test him. They just gave him off. Have you seen that happening anywhere where it's really hard for people to get a test, or is that probably more of a New York thing?
No, it's a thing here, too. You know, and up until now, you know, if, say, you came into the ER, you say, I have a fever and a cough and I'm short of breath, but your fever goes down with Tylenol and your oxygen levels are good, then I'm discharging you and telling you to stay home. Just because we don't have the availability of testing within the ER. So, you aren't in need of an admission. So it's really hard to say because a lot of people have just been sent home. It's kind of a, you know, like that kind of contributes to why, you know, I said what I said in terms of the data, you know, like there's just not enough testing. If everybody got tested, obviously it would be a different story. But they're not, and we are incapable of doing it as much as we'd love to. But hopefully in the future, you know, we can look back and, you know, find a way to kind of figure that out, just, you know, for the purposes of, you know, studying the actual disease itself and seeing, you know, how it spread and where it spread and, you know, how many people did actually die from it. Like, what was the rate, you know, the percentage, you know, so that we'll know for the future in case this does resurge, which I really, really hope not. But
well, I tell you from what I think is going to happen, and this is my expert chef opinion, and professional broadcaster opinion. So you know I'm right, just because I have those credentials.
Absolutely,
right, Jeff?
Absolutely right.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, of course.
Yeah.
And a Tony Award.
I don't want a Tony Award. I'd like to win a Tony Award. I do have phenomenal jazz hands.
Listen, you got to sing, you got to dance, you got to act.
Hey, look, I was in Dancing with the Stars in Norwalk. So how about that?
Oh.
True story. Last year,
you know, it's big stuff right there. Big stuff.
You know, Wall Street Theater. It was good. Stole the show.
Billy Blanks.
Nice.
Ty Bo.
That's right. But I think we're probably gonna, like, this is April's gonna be pretty much what it is right now, and I think start mid May we'll see things start to kind of come back to life a little bit slowly, and I think by mid June we'll be back to normal a little bit, and then we'll have a pretty great summer, and then we'll see a resurgence of this in October, November, but we'll be way more prepared for it. More antibodies, mm-hmm. more that mm-hmm. sort of stuff kind of in the air. I have friends of mine who are professors at Fairford University who actually study this kind of stuff. It's virology. What the fuck do you call this shit? I don't remember.
Virology,
yeah. Yeah. Virology sounds good too, Jeffy. What are you laughing at?
I was with you, bro.
See?
All
right.
I was like, yeah, virology.
Yeah.
That's it.
Virology, right, Dan? You're with me.
Virility.
Oh,
yeah.
He's very
viral. I just see the documentary on Netflix.
Yeah.
Oh, virility might be a little bit something different.
It's very virology. He's got a lot of virility in him. There you go.
So a lot of virility in this disease.
But they tend to agree. They're saying as long as this thing does and behaves like a typical virus does, that's probably going to be the scenario. How do you, I mean, is you being on the front lines obviously something we hope for, but I mean, obviously you have a little experience with viruses too. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, of course that's the hope. And, you know, with viruses, of this sort, of this type, typically, you know, that's how they do behave. If you remember H1N1, from, you know, what was it, 2009?
Killed a lot of people.
It killed a lot of people. It was very similar in terms of, you know, how much of an effect it had. And now, you know, and I recently found this very interesting. It is essentially, it's still around, but it essentially has the effect of what a common cold would have in people.
Why is that?
I think because, you know, people develop, you know, the antibodies to fight it off. So, you know, while you'll get some symptoms, your body won't go into this overdrive, you know, reaction because it'll recognize it. So I think that's kind of in part, you know, due to that, because we've all pretty much been exposed at this point. And, you know, now our bodies have that opportunity to react, you know, a little less.
The H1N1's a great example. Like, you look at those numbers, too. Listen, that thing killed a lot of fucking Americans. Something like 40,000 Americans or something like that. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
But,
bro,
I don't remember it being that big of a deal.
Well, because it doesn't... Those numbers were over a year, right? Is that what you're talking?
No. It was over, like, a six-month, four-month period.
No.
It was crazy. Erica should have said the same thing. It's so similar, remarkably similar to what we're going through now.
Mm-hmm.
Really? And they blew it off?
Well, they just didn't make nearly as big a deal out of it.
See? Wasn't news? Mm. Fake news, maybe? Yeah. You think maybe Trump's not lying?
Oh,
he's trying to drain the swamp?
Oh, no. Okay, here we go.
Shit.
Here we go. Dan, what were you saying?
Well, there's one thing that I think is different, and I think that this is a struggle that I keep seeing. And it's diagnosing it. I keep hearing that from different articles and stuff, they're saying the different symptoms that you have, and some people have cough, some people have diarrhea and pink eye. Like,
I've heard that.
It varies on who the people are. So what? That could be a reason why they can't diagnose it.
What? Diarrhea and pink eye now?
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
This is like the Lyme virus. It's like it could be anything now. They're like, oh, it's Lyme's.
It's like when Dallas Page. It's like when we had Dallas Page on, Jeff, and he was like, if it was Ebola and we're all bleeding from the eyes. I was like, Jesus, bro. Relax.
Not yet. No one's bleeding from the eyes yet, thankfully. Not that I know of.
Unbelievable. Jeff, you got a question? You should chime in with a real question, man, because I've been running my mouth a lot.
Who? Me?
You? Yeah, go for it.
Oh. Well, you took all the good ones. No, I'm just joking.
She didn't answer my question. She does know someone who had diarrhea that tested positive and had no... Yeah. That's all they had was diarrhea and tested positive.
Yep.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, one of my coworkers, actually.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was one of my coworkers. And fortunately, we'd known that was a symptom when he developed them. So, you know, he was essentially like, he knew to look out for it. But had that happened a week earlier, then he would have just thought he had diarrhea.
Man, you know, isn't anything worse than telling pretty girls that you don't know that well you got diarrhea? I just can't. That's terrible.
I don't know.
I couldn't do it. I wouldn't be able to do it. I'd be like, nah, I'm good, Erica. Everything's fine. I wouldn't be able to do it. Wouldn't be able to do it. She'd be like, why are you standing funny? I'm like, my back hurts.
You got a crick in your back.
I got a crick in my back.
Crick coming back.
She's like, maybe if you start tensing up your ass, it wouldn't feel so bad. I'm like, I can't do that.
Just like bent with your tailbone just curled underneath.
Right. I just can't even imagine. That's the worst thing to have to happen. I mean, Jesus.
Why are you walking like that?
What's wrong with you? Why are you...
Toes pointed flat out.
Listen, I don't know about that, Plum. You may walk a little funny, but you have the straightest posture out of anyone I've ever seen in my life.
That's when you tell them to go back and get the other nurse.
Go back and get the other nurse.
You got to get the other nurse. We can't talk right now. You need to go get the other one. I saw her outside. She was an old Betty. She's been doing this for like 60 years. Look, have her come in here.
She can,
tell her to bring a cigarette out.
Tell her she can bring a cigarette in here. I don't care. She can smoke in here. It's fine.
Whatever.
Damn.
I've had some terrible things like that happen. You ever been in the hospital and not want the nurse to come? But you fuck around by accident and you bump the nurse button and then they keep coming and you're like, get out of here. And they're like, what's wrong, sir? And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. I'm like dying in here, but I don't want you in here. I'm just like, shit's bad.
What happened to that story?
I flailed around. I hit that fucking button.
No, I've never had that happen, Jeffy. I've never had that happen.
Never had that happen?
Just flailing.
Oh man!
Kicking his hair
kills you.
Oh my god, Erica! Just for fun,
you gotta be careful.
Tell us a horror story. Something that's just totally embarrassing. The most embarrassing moment for you working in a hospital in the years you've been there.
Most embarrassing moment for me working in the hospital.
Yeah, like what's something that's happened? You're like, oh god, I can't deal with this.
This is terrible. Yeah.
And we want the person's name and where they live.
Probably getting
stuck in an elevator. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
So,
I'm kidding.
Oh, like, do you mean embarrassing for me? Like, it happened to me or like someone else?
No, for you. Like, you're working and you're like, oh my god, what is happening? I can't deal with this.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, I've been stuck in an elevator one time and I had to call for help, which was really fun. Because it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. It was embarrassing. It was very embarrassing.
The elevator was stuck. You needed to get out.
Yeah. It was, you know.
It's like one of my nightmares. I don't ever want that to happen. I've never had it happen, but I never wanted to either.
It's a little freaky, but, you know, it's not like the power went out. Like, I could still see the lights around and everything like that. It was just one of those things where, you know, you got to make that call. To the ER from your cell phone, which I thank God I had on me, and tell them like,
yeah,
hey guys,
come get me. I was going to the snack machine up on 3 and Yeah, the elevator stopped. I tried to open the door and do it like Die Hard and climb out, but it didn't work. That's what I would have done. Straight up Die Hard at Jeffy. That's how you got an elevator.
I would have, yeah,
would
absolutely.
You? I'm not calling up for that.
Yeah, still, it terrifies me. Like, and then, like, you're trying to climb out, and then the fucking thing, like, pops, and then it's like, blah, it hits you in the back, it breaks your back, or some fucking, oh, shit.
I'm just going to do, like, Captain America. God. I'm going to jump out that bitch.
There's no windows in every single one of the damn elevators.
Yeah, I'm Captain America. I'm just going to blow through the wall. It don't matter. Captain
blow
America.
Through the ceiling of the elevator.
Erica, what about, what about worst injury you've seen? Like the most horrific, terrible injury or weirdest injury? Or both. Give us both.
I mean, we can go for hours on that one. I've seen a lot of weird injuries.
Give us the weirdest one. Let's go deep. Let's go deep.
Yeah. Deepest one you've seen.
The deepest?
I'm just joking.
So, funny enough, no, I mean, like, I did do x-ray for a very, very long time. And, you know, part of the joy of that job is finding things that people like to put in their bodies in areas that,
is that
you know,
a lawn dart
don't
there?
Necessarily make sense. I found a remote control.
Oh, wait, you got to be more on, more specific. A remote control where and in, like, who?
In a gentleman's rectum.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I like how you kept
a whole remote
there.
Control? Yes. Like
a
little
remote
one or like a big one?
No.
Like a universal remote?
It was like a universal remote control. It was one of
Was he uncomfortable? Is that why he came in?
He came in because he had a remote control up his
He couldn't get it out. Now, but let me ask you this. Let me ask you this.
You guys didn't believe him, so you had to hit him with the x-ray? What if it blew up the batteries? It's been terrible.
I mean, but how did he play it off? Was he like, oh, there's something, I don't know what's wrong, it feels weird. Sir, you have a remote control in your asshole. Oh, how'd that happen?
The story is usually I tripped and fell. And
I hate when that happens.
Oh, man, I better be careful.
Anywhere where you may fall. Yeah, that's usually the story. I don't remember. That was very early on in my career. It was probably like the first year I worked in the medical field, like at all.
I mean, you had to die laughing.
So I don't remember exactly, but you know, we've seen patients with manner of things inside of them. There was one pretty gnarly one where a guy chainsawed kind of into his leg. You know, all the way down to the bone, which was pretty fun.
It's gnarly.
He was remarably calm. Yeah, I mean, we've seen
a lumberjack.
I don't know what he was doing with the chainsaw, to be honest. But you know,
we can assume John Wood.
At least he just chainsawed his leg. Think about where it could have been, and you could have been in the X-ray room again. That'd have been weird.
That's very true. That's very true.
Chainsaw up his ass.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dan. I was trying to just, you know, sometimes it's funnier not saying it.
I just wanted to like picture it. Dude just coming in, walking in, the saw going off, and the other end goes.
Then I saw you on it. The chainsaw.
God. All right, so the worst injury you've seen is a chainsaw to the leg. Come on, you got worse than that.
No. It was a little weird, but we've seen the worst injury. I mean, that's there was one guy who came in completely eviscerated, so he was stabbed and all of his intestines were, you know,
hanging,
being held into his abdomen by a paramedic.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
There's that. Yeah, that was that.
How do you fix that?
Was not fun. That surgery, that one went right up to the OR, and you know, essentially they have to those good people up there do their magic and stitch away, and close them in a way that hopefully makes sense.
Do you know how that works up there? Like, is it like a body shop? Is there like a team of dudes, and then like all of a sudden they'll be like, "Hey, Bill, we got this emergency. It's got to come through." And they're like, "Ah, shit, we have all these other like." Whatever's we're working on. They're like, nah, man, you got to get this one done. This motherfucker's going to die. And they're like, all right, fuck it. Bring him in. And then you slide in.
Puts a cigarette on the floor.
Up. And then, like, you know, they're like, all right, dip, get them out. And then, like, they slide back into, like, you know, doing routine, I don't know, rhinoplasty or whatever they're to do.
Rhinoplasty is not fixing.
Thankfully, we have a team that's designated for trauma, you know, so they're kind of there waiting, for basically waiting for something to happen. Yeah, especially on my shift, because, again, I work overnight, so, you know, hopefully elective procedures aren't being done at night. So, you know, we have a team that's designated for that, but it can be like that. You know, I've done a lot of surgical rotations when I was in PA school, and, you know, we've gotten those, you know, damn, the ER has this, we got to go do that now type of deal. So,
Well, Erica, you've been so fun to talk to. We appreciate it. Final thoughts that you want to give out there, especially to people who may be a little scared, or a little nervous about things, you can tell them about this whole pandemic we're in right now.
So, I mean, what I would say to people who are scared, you know, I mean, you know, we're all in this together. You know, one thing that I've learned, this virus doesn't really discriminate against anybody. So at the very least, we all know that we're all in this kind of together, the battle we're all fighting, regardless of, you know, socioeconomic status, race, you know, where you live, it doesn't really matter. So, you know, one, you're not alone. Two, you know, just really follow the guidelines. You know, they're us, and, you know, I know everybody gets a little stir crazy. It's not easy every single day looking at faces, but it's so much more worth when, you know, the other option is being, you know, intubated and being completely alone, you know, in a hospital. So, you know, if you're healthy enough to be home, then stay home and enjoy the time with your family, enjoy the time off from work, and, you know, just keep your head up, because we're all going to need it once we're coming out of this. You know, we're all going to need that positivity, and we're all going to need to kind of lean on each other for strength and for hope. So I think, you know, that's kind of the most important thing, is just to kind of try and hang in there as much as possible.
Dan, anything else we should ask Erica while we've got her? Because I don't know if we'll ever be able to get her back again.
She just needs to tell a story about the beating heart. Like, that, I can't believe what she's talking about.
Oh, the beating heart.
Just real quick. Like, she...
Yeah, give us that one.
Yeah. All right. So, quickly, I was on one of my surgical rotations was in a... I was on a transplant service up in Hartford Hospital. And we got a donor. Unfortunately, a person died, and you know, he was donating his heart, his liver, his kidneys, you know, basically everything. And during the procurement procedure, I was actually able to hold his heart while it was still beating, which, you know, I will never forget. It was one of the most incredible moments of my life.
How the fuck you could tell some, you know, bullshit story about a dude chainsawing his leg and not talk about holding a goddamn heart?
Because that wasn't necessarily an injury.
This is like an ER episode.
It was an injury to a dude who was dead.
Look, this is like an ER episode. You're sitting there holding the heart. I picture the time clock running. They're trying to get the other thing ready, and you're like holding the heart, and you're
in a helicopter. Yeah.
In a helicopter,
casually holding a beating heart.
Yeah,
we got to.
What?
You're a fantastic in the medical profession, a fantastic PA, but you're really the drizzling shit to telling stories.
No, don't get
her
started.
Yeah,
she goes on.
I think I chose the right job.
Well, listen,
I won't quit my day job, I promise.
We are very, very thankful for you. We love you very much. Thank you so much for everything you're doing. Thank you for risking your life every day right now. I don't think we ever can thank you enough for that, for going into work, for handling everything that you're dealing with, and trying to make sick people better. And you know, it's unbelievable what you're doing, and I don't know if I could do it, and I'm so thankful that people like you are there who can do it, and
here.
So much respect in the world for you. And again, I just want you to be safe, take care of yourself, and keep wearing as much PPE as you need. And if you are having trouble at night and you need to talk to somebody, you can call me, you can call Dave, you can call Dan, you can call Jeffy, you can call all of us. We'll all talk to you. It'll be fun. But
thank you so much.
Take care of yourself, and thank you for everything you're doing. We really, really, truly appreciate it. Jeffy, give another plug while we got her on the phone still.
Absolutely. E-Rock the Spot on Instagram. You want to get on there, hit that follow button. You want to give her a bunch of likes on all her photos. Don't get weird, because Dan will murder you.
You need to see me and a lot of me and Baxter, my boy Baxter.
That's true, Baxter, my dog.
There you go.
Can I just do one thing? Can I thank you guys for one thing?
I'll be happy to.
Really quick before we end this. So I just wanted to thank Dan and the people at Food for the Frontlines. They came into Norwalk and, I mean, have been responsible for so many meals that we've gotten, you know, throughout all of our departments, and, you know, particularly showed us love on the night shift, because we don't really frequently get that, you know, understandably so. But, you know, it means a lot to us. It really helps us, you know, through these hard shifts where, you know, we don't really have time to really go and like heat up food or really prepare food while we're at home. So, you know, that show of love and support and caring, you know, from you guys who are already overworked and, you know, and stressed out, you know, really means the world to us. So I just wanted to kind of, on behalf of my colleagues, on behalf of myself, and, you know, everybody out there who benefits from this, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. It really means a lot.
That's what's up. I love that. I love that. And hey, look, Chef Sick. Matt Storch isn't kidding. He wants to feed you Sunday, so.
Awesome. I mean, well, I'm down for it. I'm actually.
She can eat.
Please.
Go ahead.
You can talk, because I was going to scold Dan, but you don't need to. I'm sure you will later.
No, you don't need to. It's true. I can eat, and I will.
Well, look, I'm going to connect you to Matt, because Matt wants to feed you, so I'm going to connect you to him, okay?
Awesome. Thank you so much.
And literally, thank you so much for everything you're doing, and seriously, I don't know. It's so amazing that, you know, that we have people like you during a time like this, so... thank you
Absolutely.
For everything. We really appreciate it.
We're humbled that you took your
thank
time
you,
out
of course.
Seriously, thanks for taking the time to hang out with us. It's awesome. And hey, listen, we may hit you back up again with some more questions, so get ready.
Yeah, anytime. I'm ready. Anytime.
That's what's up. Erica, thank you so much for your time. We'll talk to you on down the road.
All right. No problem. Thank
right,
you, guys.
See you.
Have a great night.
Bye, Erica.
All right.
There she goes. Erica. Working down there at Norwalk Hospital, helping us out, letting everybody see what's going on. Such an awesome person to come on here and answer questions, man. We really, really appreciate that. Take a breather really quick for just 45 seconds, gentlemen, and we'll be right back with Plum Love Foods Live. Stay right there. Oh, yeah, Dave. Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many... Buffalo Foods Live right here on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. I just realized that I muted the commercials, Jeffy.
You did?
I did. I
heard them.
We heard them because our Skype, we hear them, but I don't think they were playing over the air, so I'll have to edit that shit out.
Great.
Eh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Great conversation. They're getting some real info out there with our friend Erica. You know, good convo, right?
Absolutely, man. You ask great questions. I really didn't have too much to follow up with at all. I mean, she, you know, a lot of the stuff that I was thinking about, too, is just like, you know,
microchips.
It must be so hard for them to separate their regular lives, you know, from work right now because of the, you know, the lack of everything. It's got to be just like it's, you know.
It's scary, man. I can't even deal with how scary that would be just as. You know, even if one, you know, I mean, Erica's my friend. She's not, you know, I'm not as close as Dan is with her. But Dan, I got to imagine you got to be a little scared for her every day. Or Dan could be muted, I think. Yo.
Oh, sorry,
Dan.
Oh, sorry. Hey. Yeah.
Oh, there he is. All right.
So, yeah, that's what yesterday was about because you know her and my wife were best friends. It was really hard for her to kind of understand what was going on, so she said come over. We were actually going to meet in the parking lot and do the whole parking lot 60 thing, and I was like, come over, I'm gonna set up the table, we're gonna have some dinner, because she's been alone like for weeks. She can't see her boyfriend, she can't see anybody. So I was like, you know, that's a real struggle, and I feel so bad for her. I feel bad for all of them. They have to kind of go through this, and even after, you know, whatever the initial time, when do they get the time to go back? Like, when is it okay?
Yeah.
When can they say, I'm safe now? You know, how long is that for them? Because even if it's, you know, say it's 2-3 weeks for us, it's still 6-8 more weeks, maybe 10.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, man. Yeah, absolutely. Also joining us here on the show, a friend of the program, good brother Chef Frank Bilotti. Frankie.
What's up, guys? How we doing?
You know, live the dream of quarantine, brother. How's life over there on Staten Island?
Same old. No.
Nothing new? Well, that's good.
Nothing new in the past month.
just sitting there, huh?
Yeah, I don't even know what day today is.
Well, listen, what do you think of that convo with Erica, man? I mean, we're trying to get these medical professionals on and try to get some info out there.
I know. She was awesome. But like I said, with the numbers, I don't know. I don't know how many people are really affected by it.
Yeah,
one
that's
of my
what
best friends.
We just don't know.
Yeah, he's in the field, and he can't even get tested.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
I think there's a lack of the test, she was saying. I don't know if you heard, I brought it up to her, what you said, and she was like, yeah, there's some people who, if they show these certain symptoms, we just tell them, you got to go home and quarantine yourself. Like, we don't have enough, we're not testing here at the hospital immediately right now. I think this new test, the Abbott test that just came out, is going to be a game changer for everybody, I think.
I think so, too.
But the numbers are irrelevant. If we don't test every person, it's irrelevant.
What I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, you're just throwing numbers out there. Like, who? I mean, whatever. I mean, listen, you can say that there's 100,000, 150,000 people in New York City that have it or whatever the number is right now. But, I mean, there's 7 million people in New York. That number, comparatively, is actually small.
Oh, yeah. You're 100% right.
I mean, but if we're not testing everybody, I don't know if it makes sense, though.
I mean, not to test everybody, but in the same sense, I mean, if you're in the field, in my
Absolutely.
Eyes, you're in the field, and you're helping other people, and you're not able to be, like, how are you going to know? So you're not going to pass it from somebody that doesn't have it.
But yet these NBA players can get tested, but we can't get our fucking FDNY guys tested and nurses tested. Get the fuck out of here.
They tested the tiger or the lion or something in the Bronx Zoo.
That's true.
Are you kidding me with that?
Well, I mean, tigers are pretty hot right now with that new Netflix series.
Is that real? Because they said animals can't get it.
No, it's true.
How the lion get it? Or a tiger, whatever the fuck. What are these fucking making
out
with
the... Why the fuck did they test it? I don't understand how that... Like, I'm with fucking Frank over here. What the fuck is going on in this world that a tiger is getting a COVID test, but we can't get one for anybody else?
Jeff, I'm walking down the street. I see my cousin from across the way. He's like, don't come near me. I wasn't coming near you anyway. And then he's like, He goes, I think I have it. And he's the fireman. So
why
like,
is he out walking around?
So, well, he just feels it. Like, he's trying to, like, sweat it out or something. He doesn't know what to do.
Just walk around and spread it. That's a great idea. Through blood, right?
Yeah. I'm like, dude, go get tested. And he's like, I can't go get tested. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I don't know. They won't test me, but they'll test the fucking tiger in the wrong zoo.
Oh, it's terrible, dude.
It's the truth, though.
It is the truth.
He's like, I don't know. Still, I got all the symptoms.
Wow.
Tiger's got love right now.
Wow.
Anybody see that show? Because I refuse to watch it.
I don't want to see it.
Gosh, it's hilarious.
It's fantastic, man.
Greatest thing ever created.
Oh, dude, the best thing in the whole series. There's one part.
Don't give me anything away. I haven't seen it.
Oh, can I spoil it a little bit?
No, I want to see it still. We're
it's like a preview, though. I won't tell you about just this one part.
I want to know.
All right, I won't tell you because I don't want to make Plum upset. I feel like he's going to be upset because it's good.
If it ruins the show, don't do it.
No, it won't ruin the show. It'll just make you want to watch more.
This is old news. I knew about this a year ago.
Oh, no. Actually, it might ruin something. It'll ruin a setup. I won't say anything.
Text it to me. I want to know.
Yeah, I want to know. Text me, too.
By next week, I can talk about this. I'm going to watch this fucking show. It was WrestleMania weekend. I couldn't watch anything else.
Three times now. Trice times, son. Trice times.
Well, it was WrestleMania weekend, so that's where I was at.
Yes, I did watch the Undertaker fight. And I told you,
amazing.
I think the AJ guy got robbed.
Yeah, but it's the Undertaker. He's supposed to get robbed. It's fucking Taker.
Yeah, Undertaker can
beat. I don't know.
You see in the video they cut it out. He comes rolling up to fucking Metallica song. It's so dope.
Wait, what is this?
WrestleMania that happened this past weekend. Because of WWE, they can't perform in front of a live crowd. They've been doing everything at their performance center in Florida. And so, I mean, WrestleMania is the showcase of the Immortals. So, you know, it's usually in front of a crowd of 90,000 people in front of a massive stadium.
But isn't Undertaker like undefeated in WrestleMania?
No,
he lost
a few years ago for the first time. He lost to Brock Lesnar.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, he just lost to that other dude like 2 years ago.
And
Brock
was his first loss, and he had another loss to Roman Reigns, who was just a fucking
Roman Reigns. Yeah. Everybody was really mad about that because he lost
Greek.
Roman Reigns.
Jeff goes talking Greek.
No, I know nothing about it. My boy goes to WrestleMania like every other year.
Oh, bro, I've never been. I'd love to go. It'd be awesome.
I want to go, but I want to go as a...
the showcase of the Immortals.
As a luchador?
A press. No, I want to be in the press. I want to go and interview people.
Oh, that'd be amazing, too. Listen, things pan out. They do SummerSlam in New York City every year, so we could easily get on the press box there.
Be amazing. I think Dom did something. Didn't he have the truck at one of those at WrestleMania?
I think he did WrestleMania. When was WrestleMania in Manhattan?
It was a couple years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, yeah.
No, less.
No, it had to be less than that. It had to be like two years ago, maybe? Yeah, a year ago?
2 years ago, yeah. He was in fucking New York, sure, doing WrestleMania. I told you, I was jealous.
Yep.
Listen. I'm trying to figure out when it was in Manhattan. It was WrestleMania 29, I believe, that happened. And that was 2013, April 7th, 2013.
Wow. Well, then what's the one that's in August?
SummerSlam. SummerSlam is generally in New York almost every year now.
Oh.
SummerSlam is like the second biggest show of the year.
Don't tell Plum about wrestling. He's going to go ahead and tell you wrong. He was like, I said 5-6 years. I'm going to tell you, I said 5-6 years. Just so you know. I tried to tell you, you want to listen.
You want to listen?
I got it.
I looked this shit up.
You stand corrected.
Well, listen, we got a pretty fun game we want to play tonight before we get out of here. And I thought that it'd be fun if Frank and Dan, if you guys wanted to play.
Yeah, you know.
Sure.
Fun.
I'm trying to get Dave, but he's not answering the phone. I think he's hot that we haven't called him. Jeff, did he ever text you back?
I'm eating these delicious chocolates.
Yeah, well, I was just texting him earlier.
He's not answering. I'm trying to hit him up. Well, today, Jeffy came with a really fun game, and we thought it was a really, really fun game. And basically, the game is basically going to be, Jeff, what are we calling this game?
Corona or marijuana?
So we're basically going to play you a sound effect. We're going to play you a sound effect. Shit. And you guys have to pick whether it's somebody with corona or someone who just smokes some marijuana.
Wow.
This mean, cuts me deep. This is a good game right here. I'm excited about this game.
Yo, can I tell you a quick story that makes this funnier? Is that I actually stopped smoking weed because I was getting paranoid, wondering whether I was high or whether I had corona.
You said that last show.
Yo, that shit was fucking me up, man. That's not fun, man.
No, it's not.
Oh, oh my God.
All right, let's go. Let's make this fun.
All right.
Let's make this terrible feeling fun again.
All right.
Make this terrible
so
feeling
I'm gonna play fun. I'm going to play the sound effect, and you guys corona. Will each make your guess. And the answers are either corona or smoking weed. And then Jeffy will tell us the answer. Everybody ready?
Well, yeah, we'll have to play the buzzer.
Yeah, well, I got those two.
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready? Here we go. Our first sound. Wait, what the fuck is this music on? I didn't put any music on. It sounds like some shit from Resident Evil.
Oh, zombies.
All right, here we go. Our first sound effect. You guys ready?
Yep.
Let's go.
Alright.
You serious?
Wow.
Jeffy, that person's having some issues, Jeffy.
Kid's choking on popcorn.
Alright.
Definitely went down the wrong tube.
Dan, what do you think?
Tell you that's what it is. You.
Marijuana. I'm gonna go with marijuana.
Alright, marijuana. Okay, I'll take that. Frankie, what do you think?
I say popcorn, but Corona.
Corona. All right, all right. Jeffy, I'm going to give him the answer. Is that cool?
Yeah, give him the answer. Hit him.
It's Corona time. Hey, it's Corona time right now.
There you go. They have Corona.
Wow.
Fucking hate that song.
I fucking hate that song. Oh, that's hysterical. All right, well, so the score... as we stand now, is 1-0. 1-0. All right? Mm-hmm. 1-0. All right, here we go. Let's play your next one. It's Corona time. Here we go.
Five.
Jesus. All right, so ignore the five that's being said because it's not a paid-for sound clip. But... I'll play it for one more time. Ready?
Five.
There you go. So, is that marijuana or is that Corona? Dan?
I'm going to go with marijuana for 500, please.
All right, all right. And Frankie, what do you think?
I'm going to say Corona again, but it sounds like a physical.
All right, let's see. Here's the answer. Jeffy, are you ready?
Smoke weed every day.
Oh, yeah?
Ooh.
There you go. So that was a little.
That's why there was a five.
A little weed. A little weed.
Ah.
Five on it.
Yeah. So I think that makes the score 1-1 now, right? 1-1? Is that the score? All right, here we go.
That's the score.
1-1 right now.
Here's our next one. I think I pressed the wrong button. Hold on. That was a terrible one.
Is that dude with the chainsaw earlier?
Yeah. Here we go. This is terrible, Jeff. What are you doing?
Jeff, what website are you on?
This is terrible. Dan, which one is that?
Yeah, that was a dick.
What the
fuck? What the fuck? So, marijuana.
Frankie.
After some marijuana, that was the cough that they had.
All right. Frank, what do you think?
Let's say Corona.
All right. Let's see what the right answer is here.
It's Corona time. Hey, it's Corona time right now.
Notice how hard it was for them to get that their phlegm up. They felt like they were drowned.
I just choked up my cantaloupe.
Wait, is that code? Is that code for something? Wow.
Cantaloupe, huh?
Hey.
Oh, God.
Terrible coming from you.
I mean, literally, I think the score right now is 3-1, or is it 2-1?
2-1.
Yeah.
2-1.
2-1.
2-1. All right, here you go. Our next one.
He's got Corona.
Oh, I thought that was Jeff.
Yeah, that sounded real.
You guys. That's what I just said. I was like, oh, see, which one's got Corona? That sounds like a Corona cough to me.
All right. What do you guys think that is, Frankie?
I think that's pot.
All right. Dan?
Nah, Corona.
Smoke weed every day.
Oh, come on.
Oh. Yeah, I should know better.
Yo.
Damn.
Shout out Chef Maria. What's up? I see you there jumping in the chat room. I didn't even know we had a chat room until a couple weeks ago. How about that? All right, here we go. All right, here we go. We got another one for you. This game is the worst. All right, you guys. No, we're not doing that one. Oh, all right, here you go. You guys ready? Oh, that's a terrible one. Dan, what's that?
That's Corona.
All right, Frankie?
Yeah, it's Corona.
Ooh.
Smoke weed every day.
Sorry. Sorry.
See, you guys are terrible.
That was an infant.
Yeah. That wasn't an infant.
Was it an infant or could have been? It could have been my friend Lawrence who has progeria. You don't know.
Yeah. Could have been one of your girlfriends. You never know.
That's right. All right. Here's two more. Here's the last one. Second to last one. That's my Aunt Janet.
That's chronic bronchitis.
She lives in Florida.
Dude, Janet got tuberculosis.
Frank, what do you think?
That's Corona.
All right. Dan, what do you think?
I think that's weed.
All right.
The black
lung. It's Corona time. Hey, it's Corona time right now. It's Corona time.
I never want to win, so I don't want to win, so I don't have to hear it.
Jeff, I'm fighting you next time I see you.
What?
Just like, I don't get
you
it.
Know right now. I'm just letting you know right now.
All right.
I'm swinging. This is
All right, here's Wait, our... this one's going to be a tricky one. This one's going to be tricky. This is gross. All right, here we go. Wow. Dan, what do you think?
Marijuana.
All right. Frankie, what do you think?
It sounded like my cough.
That full disclosure, that was you coughing.
That could be somebody with Corona that just smoked weed. Is that the trick?
Well, let's find out.
It's Corona time. Hey, it's Corona time right now. It's Corona time.
Yeah.
So now we could just guess both of them, right? We could just guess both of them.
Well, that's the last one. I think Frank won the game. Just, Frank wins the big prize.
I just threw my table.
Hey, this is true.
Did I get an ergo knife yet?
Frank, what?
Can I get an ergo knife for that?
Yeah, I'll get you one.
All right, cool.
Frank wins a big kiss on the lips from Jeffy next time he sees him.
I got you, Daddy.
Oh, God. All
right, baby, you're... I don't know, I'm shocked on a fucking... I can't eat
smoke weed
right
every day.
Jesus Christ. All right, look, friends, it's about time to end this program. Jeff, you got anything else you want to add?
Nah, man. You know, I think, like we've been saying at the end of all of these pop-up shows, keep your head up. You know, let's all stay together on this. Let's not lose sight of what's important. Let's not focus on the news every single day and every single minute of the day and get yourself worked up. Stay alert. Stay stocked. Try to get as much as you can delivered. Be smart, but this is going to end sooner than later, and we're going to try to figure it all out. So,
yeah, man, just take the time with the family, enjoy it. I mean, it's kind of Mother Nature's way of telling us all to settle the hell down and just relax. And
it's so funny you said that. And that's what Amber actually said it to me tonight. She was like, you know, I'm actually loving this. Like, you're home all the time now. You come home from work every night. I see you every day. It's like, it's awesome. Because, like, you know, I work so far away all the time.
There you go.
Yeah, so it's you know, thank God that we have the time to be together. And,
take advantage of it, right?
Let's hope the government pulls through and everybody, we can all get everyone taken care of, and we can get everyone fed and all the things that are important, you know, for right now. Let's not focus on, capitalizing on a bunch of shit. Let's focus on just making sure everyone's good, you know, the way around.
And big shout out to my friend Erica coming on and hanging out with us today. She is, you know, on the front lines there in the emergency room as a PA working, you know, keep her in your thoughts, you know, and people like that are risking their lives. Yeah, they're risking their lives every day. So keep them in your thoughts for sure. Dan, much love, brother. Appreciate everything you're doing too. I know you're busting your ass at work. You're feeding people. Keep it up.
Listen, we got to talk to all the people who are out there working, and they need to, you know, be safe and be smart. They need to, you know, I think they come to a point where they actually have to wear a mask while they're working and keep an eye on the people they're around. Don't be afraid to let people know to keep the distance, because it's hard when you're working and you want to do what you do every day, but you have to remember that there's other elements at play, and you have to be aware of your surroundings, and it's important that they all stay safe out there, because it is, like, kind of crazy. It's stressful being out there and trying to dodge customers and keep people at bay and have people coming in, but still have to show that same hospitality and that same home style feel that people are looking for when they come through. So,
everybody
out there working.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree, Frankie. Very well said. And just, you know, I should have got Erica to touch on this too. Just remember, you guys, wear a mask, but you're not wearing the mask to protect yourself. You're wearing the mask to protect other people. Other people are wearing masks to protect you. The mask protects you from nothing. It keeps other people from, you know, coughing and sneezing and all that sort of stuff. So just, you know, put a mask on. We can all look like we live in North Korea for a while. It's fine. It's fine. Right, Jeffy?
It's amazing.
We can all be Chinese tourists. We can have giant iPads to take pictures with, walk around with masks on. It's great.
Listen, I like the mask thing personally. It, you know, it's less face recognition. Get the mask on. They don't know who you are as much.
Yeah.
You can get around. You know, keep it creepy, keep it greasy.
And shout out to Chef Frank's cousin. You can't sweat it out. So stay the fuck home. Stop walking outside.
I don't know what you're doing. Fireman. What kind of fucking fireman doesn't know that he shouldn't be spreading the corona?
Well, he was walking around the block. That was it.
Oh, yeah, just the block.
He's sick. Stay the fuck home. Yeah. Don't walk anywhere. Walk around your closet.
Staten Island? In Staten Island, around the block is like 40 houses.
It is.
The fucking. He's like, he only infected like 40 families, but then infected 40 other families who then infected, you know, went to church.
Yo, my friends, the professors, my friends were saying that one person should assume they infect 900 people.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
One person can infect 900 people.
I believe that, yeah.
Plum, that's what I'm trying to tell you. When you say like the numbers are like the flu, I mean, if New York already has whatever 100 fucking thousand people or whatever in New York City, well, I mean, what is it in New York City? It's like some crazy number.
I can look it up. I mean, it's the same thing as, but no, Jeffy, you're right. But the same thing can happen with the flu. This one person can affect 900 people with the flu.
Well, how come it doesn't happen then? Like this, like
it
how
does
come,
happen?
Like,
we just don't talk about it as much.
But I want to
bring
Navy
ships in and close the fucking NBA. I mean,
I know.
I'm just saying.
I don't have an answer. I know. I don't have an answer. I don't know.
What do you think is going to happen in October?
Do you think he's draining the swamp?
Well, I think we'll be a little bit more prepared for it.
Frankie.
I think it's differently.
Is he draining the swamp, Frankie? You worked for the chief of staff there. Somebody.
I'm finding out.
Like, what's going on? Is he draining the swamp? Or all the pedos going to prison? Is that what's going down? What's happening right now? Why are we all locked in our houses? Are we under attack? What's happening?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Next on Plum Love Foods Live, Frank Pilati cracks the case.
I think we got to do some more promos for Plum Love Foods Live. We haven't done any in a while.
We got to do some promos. There's some. We got a bunch of fun reads that have been laying around too that we should get done.
Absolutely. Well, listen, let's get off this show, man. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate everything. There'll be more pop-up shows this week, I'm sure.
Love you guys.
Working schedules out, working out the details, but we'll be around. We'll be here, and of course, this Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, we have Chef David Rose joining the program on the regular big show on Thursday night. Should be a lot of fun. Great conversation with David. He's a hustler. That's for damn sure. We love him. He's a fantastic, good guy. So, in the meantime and in between time, Chef Dan, thank you. We appreciate it, brother. Please be safe out there.
Thank
you.
Frankie, please be safe. Tell your family to stop walking around sweating on people.
Yes, you guys be safe.
Jesus Christ. Jeffy, much love to you, brother. And, of course, shout out to our friend Eric.
Love you, man. Love all
man.
You guys.
Absolutely.
No, my pleasure.
And ladies and gentlemen, please be safe out there. Remember to make sure you're wearing gloves, you're looking after your neighbor, you're talking to your family, you're having those phone calls, you're washing your hands, and of course, most importantly, remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's give it the time it deserves. Take care of yourselves and each other.
I'm the tower of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place. Ooh, yeah!
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.